B-Pod Studios.
Dr. Prison, it's a consulting firm that prepares people for the first time they have to go to prison.
I think Dr. Prison is on. Doctor?
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Good. Can I call you Tom or Dr. Prison?
Yeah, you can call me Tom.
All right, good. Now, we had a guy on from Texas who was actually an ex-con about 10 years ago talking about this stuff. It can be a pretty intimidating thing that if you're a guy, you made a bad mistake. You made a horrible mistake. You're a middle-class, upper-middle-class guy, and you get that prison sentence slapped on you, and you don't know what to expect. Your firm basically tries to tell them the do's and don'ts when you go to prison.
That is correct. Yeah, it's basically middle-class people. Yeah, that's correct.
Everybody thinks you're going to get raped when you go to prison.
Yeah, that's one of the greatest fears, and you definitely have to know some things going into it where you're not going to bring a lot of attention to yourself.
It's lay low.
Well, that's part of it. And, you know, like I said, there's different people look differently going in. And if you're effeminate, you're going to be looked at, you know, more in that way. You know, and there's certain things that you have to know, you know, going into that that will help you, you know, not have that happen.
All right, let's take the an average guy. He doesn't look too effeminate, but he's not tattooed up either. He's probably a business guy, wound up shooting a gun in his garage, and he's going to prison. What's the first thing that, you know, Joe Average has to know before he goes into prison?
Well, number one is I always tell people that you want to keep breathing in and out because oxygen to the brain gives you a natural adrenaline release. Another thing to know also is you treat people with respect. You're not too friendly, but you're friendly, you know. Another thing is, you know, you don't want to get too excited. You don't want to talk a lot about your crime.
Oh, yeah, I was told you don't talk about your crime.
Dave's looking nervous.
Yeah, Dave.
Especially when he said, don't get too excited.
Yeah, think of this, Waterman.
Yeah.
This could be you.
Freaks me out.
Now, tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, though. And this is just based on the ex-con that we had on years ago. He said in a couple of things, and I want you to confirm or deny these things. He said, first of all, if you go to prison and you're that middle-class guy that's never been to prison before, you are going to get into a fight. It's going to happen. And he said, fight, but make sure you don't win.
Well, there's two points to that. Everyone does not have to fight. And number two is if you do fight, you fight the best you can, because at least if you try, people have respect for that.
All right, so fight the best. Don't give up. Don't go into the fetal position and let them kick your ass.
Yeah, pretty much when people get into fights, I mean, usually if you know the guy a little bit within your group, then, you know, it'll kind of end because you get tired out. And then another situation would be is if you're going to get into a fight, you let one of your, I'm going to say, homies know. And they're basically going to watch the fight to make sure no one else jumps in.
Tom, you're going into prison. You don't have homies yet. You don't know. You're not a member of any gang. And, you know, you have the black people, the Hispanic, the white people, the white supremacists. All of them are paired off in their own groups. You don't have anybody. And somebody is going to try to get to you when you're in prison. Right or wrong?
Wrong, because I've been to prison. You know, that's what it is. If you know going in, immediately you're starting to work out, you're finding a buddy to work out with. So you're mainly trying to bond with someone that has the same focus as you. So really, right off the bat, there's other people that there is numbers in groups, and so immediately you need to be aware of that.
You get into prison, you're issued your cell, you want to just do your time and get out. Your bunkmate is making a shaft out of a spoon. He's always getting in trouble. You don't narc on him, though, either, though, do you?
No, absolutely not.
You don't tell on people.
Absolutely not, and you don't buddy up with the prison guards. So basically, you know, your cellie wants to know if you're not going to, you know, pull out the shank with him. He wants to know at least that he can trust that you're not going to talk.
How do you get smokes?
You know, there's, you know, that's a good question because out here in California, they're against the rules now to have cigarettes.
Yeah, you can't smoke in prison.
Correct. I don't know. Is it the same out there?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. What it is like, and just so the audience knows, any state in the United States they go to prison, if I don't have the answers, I'll do the research on the prison for them.
Uh huh.
So I want them to be aware of that. But I know that there's people that, you know, that get financial benefits from bringing things in.
Right. Because, yeah, you know, in most prisons, I was always, smokes means money. That's like cash.
Oh, it's big-time money. And also, there's food services that go in and out. There's fences that things can be thrown over. And then the thing that I mentioned first is, you know, people can be persuaded by money. So you can, you know what I'm trying to say there?
So like out in California now, you come in, you're a guy that is a two-pack-a-day smoker. You're going to have to quit the habit real quick, or do you have a system in there where guys can still grab their smokes?
Yeah, you're going to probably get healthy. Two packs a day would be pretty expensive.
Really?
How much would it be?
Yeah, how much? If you're a two-pack-a-day smoker, how much? Throw a number.
$20 a cigarette.
What? $20 a cigarette?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, let me say something else, too. So a can of Bugler, $1,000.
Good Lord.
Whoa.
Now, I just talked to somebody that just got out recently, and he told me that, and I believe him.
And, Dave, I know that you're really concerned about this. You got a question for Tom.
Yeah, I have a question. Let's say you get into a fight, and what do the other inmates think about if you're kicking your opponent while he's down?
You know,
That's Dave's fighting style.
Right, the cheap shot.
Yeah, you know, and that's...
You know,
that's,
once you get him down, you just keep on kicking him.
And that's a good question. It's really about how well is the guy being kicked to death liked by the rest of the group. If majority don't like him, hey, there it is. They usually call it off when the guards come, you know, blow the horn.
So, Tom, what was your personal experience? Just briefly, what did you do, and how much time did you get, and what went on while you were in?
I just survived it.
Yeah. Basically, I did a couple of years. I did 60 days in custody when I was 23, and then I got a three-year sentence and did 19 months when I was 36. I'm 52 now.
What for?
What'd you do?
Yeah, a pound of methamphetamine and then a couple hundred pounds of pot when I was a kid. Yeah, I got involved in the lifestyle. Yeah, I couldn't, and it was tough to get out. So.
And how did you survive it?
And, you know, basically, I got to tell you, I was panicked before I went in, and before I went in, though, you know, I was cleaning my life up, and I met a person that had done 20 years back east, you know, sleeve tattoos, and that was the number one thing I wanted to ask him, you know, how do you do it? And so that's, you know, when I met Steve Scholl, and I found out that he was doing Dr. Prison, I went, wow, I really got the Dr. Prison story, because I had this person, I'm going to say now, was my sponsor. I had him talk to my mom even, and basically, you know, he says, you know, you don't use drugs, you don't get into the gangs, you attend, recovery groups if possible, if not, attend church, work out every day, drink a lot of water, make sure you breathe in and out, read positive literature, but be aware also that most people don't particularly care about people getting into recovery there unless they're in specific programs because it's about survival.
When you were in prison, were you raped?
No, I was not.
Were you
raped.
Stabbed?
No, I was not stabbed.
Well, what was your biggest challenge? What was the biggest thing you had to overcome?
Well, every day I had to be very aware of all the politics that were going on. You know, what it is every day I think the biggest fear is that you may have to kill somebody.
Right.
Yeah, and so you have to be aware of everything.
When you say you might have to kill somebody, you're talking about somebody that's just coming after you, and you have to kill somebody to defend yourself.
Somebody, yes. Somebody disrespects you. Your group sees you disrespected. You have to take care of business. Otherwise, your group will look at that you're weak.
And your group will not accept you kicking somebody's ass. You have to take them out.
Oh, no, 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 you just have to fight. That's, no, if your group says, hey, you know what, you know, this is, you know, they're watching. They're not necessarily having to say it, because if you're basically flying solo and that means that you, you know, you're trying to turn your life around and you get permission to do that, then, but if you disrespect your own race by, you know, giving another race, you know, stores and canteens and cigarettes, you know, then you're then basically, you know, that's disrespecting the race that you're, you know, that you're from, and then you could be a target for them.
So you don't talk to Mexicans. You don't even talk to Mexicans, blacks, or anything. You don't talk to them at all.
No. You acknowledge them. Everybody you treat with respect, but you're not eating after them.
Right.
You're not giving them hugs. You're not, you know, shaking hands with them. I'm not saying not ever, but you know, you're really being aware of the politics concerning that. I mean, at the very top, you know, at the top of the food chain, they pretty much probably will do whatever they want when it comes to, you know, power and control and money. But if you're down the scale, you're being watched because they need people to back, you know, health issues, I should say, your life, but also financially. You know, there's a lot of people making money in there.
Did you have people that just really didn't care what you did one way or the other?
I think there's predators in there that are trying to see any kind of weakness. And so, you know, it's kind of like the cream always rises to the top.
Mm-hmm.
So people are, you know, they're noticing everything. And I think more about, can they get you to get loaded and they can start selling you drugs, or can they, you know, start manipulating you to get you stores? So hope I'm answering your question. There's predators, and then there's people, victims of the predators.
Do you get respect if you are seen as sincerely trying to turn your life around, like you mentioned earlier?
Some people really don't care because they just want to see if they can get you caught up into the mix. But I would say a large majority will allow it. But if you move off that path, then they'll eat you up.
Yeah, with all the races broken up into their cliques, it must be really confusing for, like, a wigger to come into prison, right? I mean, where does he go?
What, like a white hip-hop
yeah,
guy comes in?
Yeah, I mean, what clique does he go with? I mean, if he goes with the blacks, obviously, you know, I mean,
well,
the whites.
Well, I would think the Aryans would beat the crap
out of him. Yeah, I'm just curious.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's why doctor interviews will be very helpful for a person like that, because he's probably really unaware how people see him.
Yeah.
You know, and so really, this is the kind of person they really need to call us.
I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Okay, I appreciate you guys.
Keeping your nose clean, Con?
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, it's been 16 years.
Good right. man.
Well, I don't care if it's been 16 years. You give me 5 feet right now.
See you later.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna send. They'll fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. On all afternoon. Media Group, Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
What was that? What the heck was that? Wait, where are you? What? Hold on. Is that you're hold it?
There's no way to start a show, I'll tell you that.
Okay, look
no
at this
way
is
to
all.
Start a show.
What was that?
What did it do?
It was just like a little 10-second thing. 7 seconds.
I went to put my headphones on, and then there was nothing.
And keep in mind, I haven't touched anything here yet. It's not my fault.
What the hell was it? Can you replay that, or would that
yeah,
be...
Yeah, I can replay Hold on, I can replay
Or would
it.
That be...
Hold
just,
it, I got it.
Well, I mean, we're all ready now.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It's a rotator. So if I put it in again, it's going to be a different one.
You mean sort of like
I might be able
how
to
a pig makes love, a
Hold
rotator?
Oh, yeah, it's a rotator. Hold
yeah.
On.
Like a corkscrew, kind of?
I don't know what that was.
Problem, fellas?
Yeah.
Well, we had a
that?
Problem with a rotator.
Yeah, a rotator. It was okay, out of bed. It was just like a quick
they were
little
replaced.
Seven.
I thought you were the one that put the bed in.
No.
Oh, well, I wasn't aware of that. We'll have to have them redone then. My
well,
mistake.
Well, what is it? What happened?
You know how
because it sounded like the usual, you know,
right.
BS
no,
introduction.
There was no bed underneath.
And then there was.
And then I, you know, I hear it starting. You know, Stan and Haney. I pick up the headphones,
yeah,
and then
please,
there's
please,
dead air.
Please recall, gentlemen. You know, please remember, gentlemen. I am fairly new to this position.
Well, I wasn't pointing the finger at you,
no,
man.
No,
but if you want me to, I will.
But when I hear a "what the hell," you know, I want to
well,
respond to that.
No one here called you Fredo.
No, they did not.
Because that's the N-word to Italian Americans.
I certainly won't respond a la Chris Cuomo.
We have liners, then we have intros that have the music.
Let me ask you that, Matt. Would you say that Fredo is the N-word for Italians?
Might be. I'm not an Italian, but I know how sensitive they can be when you
how sensitive they
insult
can be.
Them.
Well, I just wanted to go to my supervisor to make sure that we're allowed to say Fredo.
Yeah, we can.
Because I certainly wouldn't say it if I truly believed it was the N-word to somebody.
I think we're a little more thick-skinned
Fredo.
Around here. We can kid around and fool around Fredo. A little bit, and it's not a big deal.
What?
Fredo.
Did you see that?
No, I don't have headphones on, so I can't hear what's going on.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the whole Chris Cuomo thing.
Oh, yeah, of course I did.
Oh, let's start the show, shall we?
Yeah,
let you guys do it, too. So those are going to be that way for the whole day. So
what?
unless you want to replace them until my kid gets back tomorrow, Logan. So you tell me what you want after the show, and I will make sure that it's taken care of. Okay.
All right.
But just a small thing, guys. Nothing, no big. You guys are still here. We're still going to play music. The commercials are here. Everything's fine. We've got Rob behind the window. It'll all be okay.
I'm shocked that you take this so personally.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just want to make sure that the Stan and Haney show is protected.
Well, that was the last thing on my mind was blame Mangus.
You.
But, you know, now that you bring it up.
I wasn't feeling blame, Mark. I was feeling like I let you guys down.
Going to be very critical of this now.
All right?
No.
We'll get it fixed for tomorrow, and it'll be fine.
You have been around us for decades, and you've never let us down, Matt.
Thank you. I appreciate
never,
that.
Never, ever.
Well, I love you guys. You know,
thank
I'm a big
you,
fan
Matt.
Of the, a f- big fan of the show first before, you know, I became your coworker and then boss.
Thank you.
So, is this going to happen all day? Or?
Yeah,
it's going to happen all day, but you'll work it out. You're broadcast professionals, for God's sake. You got Rob Gargiulo behind the board there.
Okay.
You'll work it out.
Fine.
Is it true that Rob Gargiulo is radio's next superstar?
No question.
That he is a major market morning man, but
I
he
agree.
Does nights?
Absolutely.
That's the buzz.
No question about it. He's on his way.
That's the buzz.
All right, I'm going. Bye.
Did you know that, Rob?
No idea.
I guess you are it, man.
Yeah, you're the it man.
Yep.
Fredo. Where's my Fredo? There we go.
Now, I don't know, because we don't discuss things prior to air.
Fredo.
Did our service make an edited version of it available?
Of what? Yes. Well, no. But
because Cuomo cusses through the whole thing. Because he's being a tough guy.
The future of radio did get an edited one.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yes. Do you have that ready?
Loading it up now.
Okay, because we want to hear it. This is...
If you're the future of radio, why do they make you work 18-hour shifts with mandatory overtime?
Yeah. I have no idea. That's a great question. I need a new agent.
Is it loading? Is it going to have a commercial before it or anything?
It may.
Because this,
but he cusses through the whole thing, so we got to be sure.
This is the edited version where it just they drop the sound out of it.
Now I know many of you have heard it. I ask you to be patient because I know for a fact there are people out there that this will be brand new to them. Allow
yes.
them to enjoy it like you did
and
when you heard it.
And I will tell you, pause it right there. I will tell you ahead of time.
They're in some sort of tent.
Yes, but ahead of time, this phrase, Fredo, was used.
We've used it for years.
But was used on his show to describe Donald Trump Jr. Fredo.
Not only that.
And he said nothing.
Not only that. He's referred to himself as Fredo on Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angel. His show in New York, Chris Cuomo called himself Fredo.
Roll him.
I thought that's who you were.
No. It's from the right, call me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN.
Oh, you're much...
Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
Isn't that your
and
brother?
And they use it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian?
I'm a little
Are you Italian?
It's
an insult to your people. It's an insult to your... people. It's like the N-word for us.
Wow.
Is that a cool thing?
You're a much more reasonable guy in person than you seem to be on television.
Yeah, but if you want to play, then we'll play. If you've got something you want to say about what I do on television, then say it. But I'm going to fall to you.
Hey, listen.
What?
I don't want any problems.
But... Yeah, you're going to have a big problem.
What's the problem?
It's a little different on TV. Don't insult me like that.
I didn't insult you.
Call me Fredo. It's like I call you... You like that? You want that to be your nickname?
I didn't call you that.
You called me Fredo. You know my name now. Fredo.
I thought your name was.
You did not think my name was Fredo. Don't be a liar.
You
want to be a man? Stand up like a man.
I'm standing up, man.
You want to be a man? I'm here. Then own it. Then own what you said.
Hey.
Then own what you said.
Listen, man. I don't have a problem with you, man.
You're going to have a problem.
What? What are you going to do about it?
I'll ruin you. I'll throw you down these stairs like a punk.
Please do.
Why? So you can sue?
You don't want to.
Sue?
Well, why don't you do
Fredo,
it?
Take a swing. You want to call me Fredo? Take a swing. Take a swing. Watch your fucking hands. Take a swing. Watch your hands. Take a swing. No, no. Come on, boy. Come on, boy. You want to call me? Call me.
Hey, listen, man. I'm not doing anything.
I'll wreck your. I'll wreck your.
Don't
stop.
You didn't actually be Frank. You didn't know what you were doing when
I thought it was your name. I thought it was your name.
You didn't know, right? Hey, you didn't know what you were saying, right?
I thought it was his name.
I'm breaking it up.
Break it up.
It's my buddy.
Oh, there's the boys.
You're in for it. You're in for what? You're in for
it. Fredo.
You're in for it.
You call me
Fredo.
Fredo. Fredo.
Jeez. And so now we've learned that somehow when you call someone Fredo.
Fredo. it is on. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, which one are you on?
I don't know.
Which one are you? I thought.
I think I'm on the uppers right, now.
Oh, there you go. Fredo.
Fredo.
Had no idea that when you call an Italian person Fredo,
Fredo,
I had no idea.
That's the N-word to them.
Yeah.
Do you see the sickness?
Yes.
With CNN and the fake news ilk? So we take an innocuous ball-busting comment and we turn it into something racial.
Well, that's my N-word, Fredo.
And I guess we get to choose our own N-words.
Yeah.
CNN is not only standing behind Chris Cuomo, they're very proud of him for standing up for himself.
Well, he's smart.
You know, he knows things.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. But
Fredo.
I'm dumb. I'm smart. And I want respect.
Okay.
Fredo.
You're my older brother.
I've always taken care of you, Fredo.
Taking care of me? You're my kid brother, and you take care of me?
Fredo.
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 No, it was you, Fredo.
Fredo.
You broke my heart, Fredo.
Fredo. You're my older brother, and I love you.
Thank you.
But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
Ever.
Ever.
You know, somehow I can't see the patriarch. Mario Cuomo.
Mario Cuomo would not put up with any of this. And he would take Chris Cuomo and crack him upside the head and kick him in the ass.
Call him Fredo.
And Fredo, get out of here.
He'd call him Fredo.
He would. Oh, I'll tell you, the old man's rolling in his grave.
Christopher. Christopher. My name got you this gig.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm rolling in my grave, but I'm a big boy. I can handle it.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Your brother happens to be the governor of the state of New York. Yep.
Following his father's footsteps.
He does not need you going out there, Fredo, and embarrassing the family.
I mean, Chris.
I may be dead, Chris, but I'm still one hell of an orator.
Yep. He was.
And daily I check my Twitter feed. I see what Trump's up to. Every day. What's the first thing I see today, Fredo?
Fredo.
You just bought yourself a new nickname, Fredo. It's never going away.
Fredo.
Ever. Ever. Ever.
We're going to take a break.
Fredo.
We'll be back.
A lot of people don't know when they've done something permanent.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, they pop off with something and they think, okay, that was something there in the moment. It's not like it's going to live forever. You know, Whitney Houston, she wasn't thinking that when she said,
that's love, that's love, that's love,
yep.
Black love.
Black love.
She didn't think it would live forever, Fredo.
Fredo.
She thought, I will always love you, will live forever.
No.
But Fredo,
Fredo.
I'm going to tell you one more time. Don't you ever,
ever,
ever embarrass this family again, Fredo.
Fredo.
My brother and I love you. But don't you ever,
ever,
ever go against the
we
family.
We got that, don't we?
Yeah, he's got.
You're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
Ever.
Ever.
We'll be back.
And especially.
I gotta pray. drink.
Don't have your mouth writing checks your butt can't cash. You threaten to throw somebody down a flight of stairs like a punk bitch. First of all, make sure there's some stairs and you're not standing in an effing circus tent.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hi, Stan and Haney here. I got to get used to that. It's only going to be for a day, but I got to get used to it. It's okay. We're good. Stan and Haney, today on the show, attorney Mike Chinopoulos.
Remind me,
lawyer.
And,
yes.
What I'll do is I'll find an instrumental, and I'll just keep it going so you can pot it up. Or is that too much
parts? If you can find one.
Yeah, I'm talking about on the box.
Yeah.
And then when we go to break, you just pot it down. I'll leave it running so that way you got some music.
You got something? What do you got?
Oh, I got all kinds of stuff.
So lay it on me. Let me just see one that we can just keep going. But I'll need the grab bag music, though.
All right, let's see.
Mr. Jordan, I just wanted to thank you for everything
that
you've done for me.
It's been- if you having girl problems, that's not I working. Bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. No. 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 That might work. Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney. No. Oh, she's talking. It's talking. This might be okay for today. No. 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 Okay, that works. Is there a vocal on it?
Yeah.
Well, then. Little bastard. No. All fish belly wine. You have plenty of stuff that's instrumental on there, don't you?
Oh, here's your favorite.
Right on. Yep. Everybody in Giant Stadium, put your hands up. Oh, jeez.
Remember this one? You used to love this. Well, yeah, this is serious. Oh. Met this little girl, she was off the hook.
I got cold chills when her body shook. Hot sex on a platter, no need to cook. I let her see my heart like a horny crook. Had her grinding
against my leg. Yeah. She messing with my head. Oh, you probably just want your grab bag.
Yeah, that'd be the dance.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's all right.
I'm just trying to help.
You always have been. Pewter Mug North. Parents, I know a lot of you getting ready to go to parent pickup, but isn't it a lot nicer right now?
It's been a long, hot, stressful summer. Parents, are you experiencing a sudden sense of relief? Are you finding more time on your hands? Is there quiet and solitude? Do you notice the house staying clean for more than 3 hours? A complete absence of loud music and video games? If this is happening to you, you're not delusional. Your children are returning to school. So open that bottle of wine and take a nap if you feel like it. Your rugrats are somebody else's problem for the next 8 or 9 months. Suckers.
You know, school had the potential to be something amazing.
I think it still is for the little kids.
But what they need to do is teach kids things they're interested in, things they want to know about. They like to blow things up. They like rockets.
See that kid in the news where the professor went and caught him on fire?
Yeah, but they don't do that. What school is, and I just figured this out.
Yeah.
school is nothing more than a government system to prepare young minds for the idea that life sucks.
Yeah, well, true.
You got to do a bunch of stuff you don't want to do, deal with people you don't like.
Yes.
Do things that don't interest you.
Our favorite girl has a messy car.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
Oh my God, look at this car. It's like driving inside a dumpster. What is that? Ugh, an old apple core. When was the last time I ate an apple? I've got to clean this thing. Right, like I have time to clean my car. I'll take it somewhere, let them deal with it. No, no, I'd be too embarrassed. I'm going to have to clean it first before I take it to get cleaned. What is even in the glove compartment? Oh, another apple core. When did I eat all these apples? Maybe I should just abandon this car, buy another one. Disposable cars. That is a great idea. Right, like that would be good for the environment. I wonder if anything in this car is toxic.
Vegas.
Maybe that's why I've been getting headaches. Do apple cores give off dangerous fumes?
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
That is so true. That is so true. That's how women think.
I know.
And God knows I've lived with enough of them to know. Hey, honey. Listen, it's been years since I had the fellows over. There's a playoff game this weekend. I figured I'd have the boys over here and we'd watch it. What do you think? Absolutely not. Look at this place. This place is a mess. I keep it to myself and saying that, well, last time I checked, I'm not the housekeeper. I'm not the one in charge.
Nope.
And so, you know what I say?
What's that?
She says, that would take me too long, and I'm not going to do it. I have my own life and my own things to do. That's not on my list of priorities. Okay, fine. I will just pay somebody to come in here and give it a once-over. You don't have to do a thing. Are you kidding me? That is so insulting. Well, why is that insulting, baby? Because if you bring someone in here with a house like this, they'll think I don't know how to keep a house.
Yeah.
I have to clean the house before you bring anybody in.
That's the truth. Ungrateful kids. And I mean ungrateful kids. Listen to this.
Oh, thank God. You know, at least there's one problem I don't have.
A mom and dad surprised their three kids with tickets to Disneyland and Disney hats. The whole family's going to Disneyland.
Now, that's thinking back a long way, Stan, but I would have been over the moon.
Me
that
too.
Could be a big deal.
But these kids weren't excited at all. In fact, they sat there unimpressed. One even threw the hat and said he hated it.
What?
Take a listen.
What kind of kids are these?
I don't listen.
Two-part gift. You get one part now, but the other part you don't get till Tuesday. So you can let them up.
On the count of three.
One. Two. Three.
I hate these. I don't like those.
I like it.
Do you know what it is? That's a ticket.
To Disney.
Where are you going to go? Disneyland. You want to go to Disneyland?
Hey, don't throw it. I hate it.
You're going to like it.
That was the worst reaction ever.
I don't know why I tried. Go to your effing room.
Yep. Get out of my face.
Guess what? Disneyland's canceled. Mommy and I are going to Vegas.
Yep.
You're going to stay with your Aunt Helen. Know how much you love her.
Woman in England who already scammed the government into paying for her nose job is now asking the general public to crowdfund a butt lift surgery for her. She needs $7,000 and went to the public last week to say that she wants people to give her money for a butt lift.
I really, really need a new bum, and I'm out of work, and I can't pay for it myself, and I so need this new bum. I need it for my mental health. I need it for my self-esteem.
Oh, my God.
This is something I need doing so bad. So I'm relying on you. I know how much you support me. I know how much you love me. So I'm sure it won't be a problem. If you could just donate and I could get this bum surgery done as soon as possible.
They're not doing too well. She's upset. She's not getting the donation she wanted.
Well, I would hope not, but it seems like she was pretty sure it wouldn't be an issue.
Nope. Look at her.
You know, I'm very concerned. And this one's finding out now. The young girls on Instagram, just between you and me, I think they believe they're always going to be that way.
They're not.
And they don't seem to have any other skills other than looking good in a bikini. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
And I think we got an example here where, you know, the bloom is coming off that rose.
Yeah, and for her own self-esteem and feeling good about herself, she needs it. Haney? Jack Black and Jack White are finally doing a collaboration. Jack Black and Kyle Gass went to Jack White's Third Man Record headquarters for a tour and are getting ready to do some recording.
Oh, hell yeah.
We just finished recording a new song at Jack White's home studio. Me and Kitch kicked out the jams. I think our song is the Kickin' Chicken, too. It's a stone cold jam. They're twisting the dials. It's old school recording.
There you go. There you go.
That's a legend, man.
Quentin Tarantino is getting a lot of crap by the way he portrayed Bruce Lee in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
He's also getting a lot of crap for featuring the toe-tapping tunes of Charlie Manson.
Yep. Well, I guess even Bruce Lee's daughter is appalled the way Quentin Tarantino portrayed her father.
Now, I've not heard about this. What did he do to Bruce Lee? I thought he idolized
Bruce
Lee.
Made him into a pompous ass, but Bruce...
I thought Quentin Tarantino idolized him.
Quentin Tarantino said, to hell with you, daughter. This is the way he was, and I know it for a fact.
Bruce Lee was kind of an arrogant guy. I didn't just make a lot of that up. I heard him say things like that to that effect. And even the thing, you know, people are like, well, he never said he could beat up Muhammad Ali. Yeah, he did, all right? Not only did he say that, his wife, Linda Lee, said that. And the first biography I ever read, Linda Lee's Bruce Lee, the man only I knew, and she absolutely said it.
Yeah, because
I still don't understand why they killed his son.
I don't know. Conan was at Comic-Con, and Kevin Bacon was a guest. And he decided to do 6 degrees on himself in regards to Indiana Jones.
So let's see. I was in Animal House with Karen Allen, who was in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Sorry, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just seeing how many degrees of separation I am from Indiana Jones. It's two. I was in Murder in the First with William H. Macy, was in Air Force One with Harrison Ford, the Harrison Ford, who is Indiana Jones. So that's three. I could do this all day, really.
Featuring Woodstock this week in Little Known Things. This time from Alvin Lee from 10 Years After.
Well, it's a lot more than 10 Years After, Alvin.
Yeah, you know it. 50th anniversary starts on Thursday, I believe. Henry Gross will be with us on Thursday, the youngest performer at Woodstock.
And the man who wrote the song about the dog dying.
Yup. Was asked, what was Woodstock like backstage? Alvin Lee, lead singer and guitarist of 10 years After.
Was it like finger sandwiches?
Said it was like hell.
It was hell. What really happened, you know, they were dropping like supplies for the audience, like helicopter, food and drinks. And it got to the point where nobody backstage had any cigarettes at all. So being a smoker, I volunteered to go out in the audience and get some cigarettes. It took me about 3 hours. I came back with 24 joints and no cigarettes.
Yeah. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. We'll come back and take your phone calls, see what else is going on. In the 3 o'clock hour later on, Mike Chiannopoulos, you can go and text us a question for Mike on the Absolute Law text line, or get yourself ready because we'll be taking your phone calls live on the air. You can talk to an attorney. He will be live in studio for you, Mike Chiannopoulos. Later on today, Stan's Name That Movie. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock.
We, the management of Beasley Media Group, would like to thank Stan and Haney for decades of dedication to this radio station.
Thank you.
We would like to, but we won't.
Stan and Haney, how are you? Telephone number into the radio station, 277-9600. Taking your phone calls, maybe pick up a prize a little bit later on this hour. Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law. Naples Nissan has just a simple question to ask all of you that are looking to maybe possibly trade in your vehicle.
What is the question? Would Stan like to drive a race car? Is that it?
Well, I already am.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a nice Z. But he wants you to go and look up, not their secret black book, the
Kelly
Blue.
You know, that always bothered me.
I know. The Kelly Blue Book.
The real thing.
The real deal.
That the rest of the world goes by,
yep.
But the dealers, they have some other book that for some reason your trade is worth a lot less.
Aaron Walker says, look at the Blue Book. Find what the value is of your automobile.
You're not playing games here. You mean the Kelly Blue Book.
Yep. And then he will add $5,000 to that. So if your car is worth $5,000, it's suddenly worth $10,000 to the gang at Naples Nissan.
This is like the opposite of what usually happens.
Yeah, if your car's worth $10,000, suddenly it's worth $15,000 to them down there at Naples Nissan.
Well, usually when it says your car's worth $10,000, then they start bad-mouthing your car and telling you why it's not.
Nope. Go buy the Kelly Blue Book and add $5,000 to it when you go and get yourself one of 700 new Nissan models on the Naples Nissan lot. That's a lot of money added to the value of your car.
You're not kidding.
And
it's money added to the actual value of your car.
Correct. And
not what they say it's worth, what it is worth.
Unlimited lifetime mileage warranty on all new and used Nissans. So you get into a Nissan, you don't have to worry that, after 45,000, after 100,000, the warranty goes away. He'll take care of you for the life of your car.
And that's on every new Nissan,
every
right?
New and used.
What?
Yes. Now, I'm not kidding around here. Go see Aaron Walker and the gang at Naples Nissan, Pine Ridge Road in Naples. $5,000 added to Kelly Blue Book.
That Aaron Walker something.
Isn't he, though? Naples Nissan. 277-9600. Well, what do we got here? We got some pewter mug. We got a $50 gift certificate to Mr. and Mrs. Crab Seafood.
Where you can
bar.
Get all the fixins.
All the fixins. $20 gift certificates to Firehouse Subs. That is if you contribute to the show. 277-9600. And your comments. I had one guy just emailed us a second ago that if Cuomo was any sort of a paisan, he'd know the derogatory language for Italian people, and Fredo ain't one of them.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist until he makes it up. And it was made up on his show.
And to try and turn it into a racial thing, it's What a puss move.
Yeah. By the way, another person texted us. Fredo is short for Frederico. In English, it's Fred. So that's a bad word now. Never say Fred. Because that, according to Chris Cuomo.
We know what the guy was doing. We know exactly what the guy was doing. He was poking a stick at him using a movie reference that people understand.
Fredo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as a public figure.
He lost his cool.
That's not what you do.
No, it's not what his daddy did.
And to double down on it, as he's going into this tirade against this random guy, he doesn't just start dropping the F-bomb.
Oh, man.
He prefaces all of it by going, I'm Chris Cuomo, anchor at CNN.
That's a little bit of delusions of grandeur.
And it's stupid.
It is.
Because I'll tell you right now, if it was you and me, we'd be in an office somewhere.
Yep.
We would not get support.
No.
And if I were in his shoes, my argument then would be, look, I was at a private event. I wasn't representing the company. He goes out of his way. One of the first things out of his mouth is, I am Chris Cuomo from CNN.
CNN.
When did CNN start doing sports?
Yeah, CNN. Ahoy.
Ahoy, gentlemen. It is Alex Jones.
Oh, here we go.
Thank goodness.
I just want to say, first of all, it is so weird not hearing Chris Cooley anymore do the intros into the show. I was going to suggest that I come down to the studio and do a few copies myself.
Oh, that would be awesome, Alex. I don't know when you'd find the time, though.
Well, I mean, right now, the globalists have driven me underground, okay? And I'm in fear of my life.
What are you talking about? I heard you say that you have like a mounted machine gun if anybody comes after you.
Well, I got the mounted machine. Of course, I got a Barrett 50 cal pointed at all directions right now. Okay, but I just want to tell you what happened Saturday morning. All right, and this is going to blow your mind.
All right.
Okay. So August 10th, probably about 7:15 in the morning, I got a phone call, and I thought that I was tripping there for a second. It was Larry Nichols. Okay, and Larry Nichols
is he still alive, Alex?
I'm gonna tell. I thought he was dead. Okay, because the Clintons injected him with the cancer virus. We know that that happened. Okay?
That's a fact. And yeah,
that was a fact. 5 years ago, I was doing donations to drug. Anyway, he got a phone call. All right, he got a phone call from it was a New York Manhattan area code. All right, and he said, "It's done." And I thought, man. Here's a guy who was diagnosed with cancer, lung cancer, 6 years ago. And it's really a testament to the indomitable will of the human spirit, okay, and the drive to want to bring down these globalist demon scum who have been running everything for the past 50 years on record. We know this.
Oh, yeah. It's established fact, Alex.
Absolutely. And I'm just so glad. And look. They said that the pedophiles would be exposed. Look at what happened.
Alex,
one of the biggest ones.
Is there any way you could put me in touch with Millie Weaver? I'd really like to have that.
We will work on that. Just email me, InfoWarReporters@Infowars.com.
Okay.
I also want to say this stunning revelation about Naomi Campbell. Okay? Naomi Campbell in her sex slave party. I mean, it is just disgusting. You know who else was there?
Oh.
You know who else was there? I saw these pictures. It's great.
Yeah, I did too. Who was there?
I saw Marco Rubio there. All right.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
That little frat boy. That little frat boy in his bubble party.
Yeah, foam. He used to have those foam parties.
And you know what?
And
you know what he did? He was right up there with Joe Scarborough and Alec Baldwin. Marco Rubio says the Russians got to Epstein.
I have insider info that Mika Brzezinski is actually having a polyamorous affair with Marco Rubio. Okay, and I mean this is groundbreaking stuff.
Boy, that's enough to make you throw up in your mouth.
Yep.
Absolutely, yep. It's absolutely disgusting.
And of course, we know who her father was.
Oh,
and
architect
and,
of the downfall of the Middle East. He purposely and systematically dismantled the Middle East.
Talking about
by funding
Zabignia.
The Mujahideen. They fund, trained, and armed via the CIA. They funded and armed what is now known as Al-Qaeda into ISIS, the Taliban. We know it.
Now, Alex,
it's
why
in their own white papers.
Why is it we never hear about the dead intern in Scarborough's office?
Well, I mean, thankfully, I mean, it, you know, it's really weird because they, in times of crisis, you really see what the mainstream media, the spineless mainstream drive-by media.
You mean Fredo?
Don't lose it. Don't lose it.
Alfred. In times of crisis, we see what they're really made of.
Yeah.
They seem to be growing a spine. So now they're starting to talk about the dead intern. Now, I mean, how much political pull he has there now. I mean, his ratings. I'm sure Mika could probably find a few of Clinton's henchmen and take him out if needed. It wouldn't surprise me.
Before we let you go, Alex, any products you want to let everybody know about?
Well, we got 25% off all products in the InfoWars/store. We got free shipping now until the end of August.
Now, does that
get the Hillary for Prison shirts? We now, have Colin Labe shirts.
Does the sale include Super Male Vitality?
We have Super Male and Super Female Vitality. I don't know if you saw Leanne McAdoo in her last few days on air.
Wow,
she was really full of life. Really full of life, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
See you later, Alex.
Thanks, guys.
277-9600.
You know what, Stan? I've got a real treat for you.
Hold on. Oh, let's see what this is, and then we'll play the treat. Ahoy, right. Who's this? Ahoy.
Ahoy, gentlemen.
Yes.
Did y'all see that movie with Hillary Swank? Hunted or something, where they're hunting deplorables.
Didn't they cancel
it's,
that?
It's not being released right now. I saw the previews for it, but they're not releasing
so
the film.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Unless you got some kind of bootleg.
Yeah, no. But I saw that they canned it, but that's just, how could you even do something like that?
Because they're crazy.
Oh, I listen to you guys. I know. They're definitely crazy.
You are. Appreciate the phone call. What do you got for me, Annie?
A song that I would be willing to bet you haven't heard in 20 to 30 years. Do you remember the motion picture One-on-One?
I do.
Do you remember who did their soundtrack? The soundtrack?
Seals and Crofts, I thought, did the soundtrack.
You're welcome, friend. This is what plays as the credits roll on One-on-One. Seals and Crofts, everybody.
Love conquers all, so the story is told.
Up your butt with a red hot poker. I can play anywhere I want.
I was wrong about you, Henry.
I think I even have a clip
of J.D. Spratlin. See, I felt like with all the negativity out there, we needed to blast some Seals and Crofts. There we go. Everything's great.
When the ticket's gone, have them pass it on. They will have as much as you. Love is what you make.
You're not going to get my scholarship.
Ruin everybody's life. I tried to give you a chance, you punk, to be somebody. All I got out of it was I'm a laughingstock for recruiting you. Well, I can tell you what you can do with that scholarship, kid. You can take it and shove it up your ass with a hot poker, a red hot poker.
Well, you're on the team. Henry and I want you to practice Monday playing heads-up basketball. And don't you worry, you're not going to be hassled anymore about your scholarship.
Sir?
No.
The scholarship?
Yes.
All the way up with a red-hot poker. I can play anywhere I want.
You know, the 70s was a different time. Why did they decide that Robbie Benson was a star?
Oh, he was a big star.
And him and Glennis O'Connor did a lot of...
Yeah, he was a big TV star, too, because he also did Death Be Not Proud, where he survived a brain... he didn't survive it. He lived through a brain tumor, and America fell in love with him. Ahoy, who's this?
Boy, this is Matt, fellas.
Hey, Matt.
Are you saying similar to Travolta and the boy in the plastic bubble?
Yes, very true. Yeah, what's going on, Matt?
I got something I got to get off my chest. It's killing me.
Go ahead.
My ex-wife has a ton of dirt on the Clintons, and I don't know what I should do about it.
Count your good fortune.
Yeah. And make sure it's in a safety deposit
and
box.
Make sure.
And I have my kids this weekend, too. I want to put that out there.
Yeah, make sure that everybody knows she's got the dirt. Take your kids for the weekend. Go somewhere safe.
That was great.
See, everything was okay in the 70s.
Yeah. Robbie Benson had a contract, I believe, with ABC TV. And ABC TV would have, I don't know, the Sunday night, the Monday night, whatever movie it was. And they would be in-house productions. So that they would go and give you something that you couldn't see at the movie theater. And he was under contract with them and did several ABC movies of the week.
A lot of coming-of-age films, struggles with drugs.
Yes, and terminal illness. Yeah, and that was it. But then he grew out of the role. For a long, he was well into his 30s, still playing the high school kid.
Yeah. And I did not know this, just realized that when I pulled it up. You heard the Seals and Crofts song? This is them, too. They did the whole... They scored the movie. So this is Seals and Crofts.
Yep. Talented duo. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Jim.
Hey, Jim.
And you guys, you've seen the movie Hillary's America, right?
Yes.
How about that song at the end by the Gatlin Brothers?
I don't remember. Which one was it?
Stand up and say so.
Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, we'll try to find it for you, brother. Stand up and say so, Haney, by the Gatlin Brothers.
Oh, we love our Gatlin Brothers, don't we? Oh, listen to that.
This is the way to the freedom I've only dreamed of. These are the winds I
was that Larry Gatlin recording the song you had right there?
What?
He's got the video of, you know, how they do it in the studio. They always have to grab at their headphones when
they
sing.
I never did that when I was in the
studio. Me neither, but whenever they're like that. They always got to do that. I don't understand why. You leave the headphones alone, but he's got the hand up. Or you'll see him one time. They'll take the headphones off and then just use the one cup to go and do it like this.
Yeah, I can't be that cool.
What is that? I don't ever do that.
Well, you know I can't be that cool. I don't even make faces when I'm playing the guitar.
Yep. Never have. All right, we got to take a break.
But
look, there's the whole Gatlin brother crew.
The movie that he's talking about, Hillary's America,
yeah,
done by a gentleman by the name of Dinesh D'Souza, who is awesome, and he paid the price for it. They set him up, and he had to do prison time on a made-up charge.
Who, the Clinton set him up?
Yeah.
For putting out that movie?
Yep.
Yep, I believe it. Mike Chiannopoulos will be taking calls for him right now. He's an attorney, a lawyer, esquire, family law, DUI, criminal, veterans issues. You need to talk to an attorney. If you're trying to get a visitation with your kids, you want to know about the summer and school schedules, and the ex is really giving you problems, you got popped last weekend, what you going to do about it? Or you got people calling you. 277-9600. Mike Chiannopoulos will help you. Call in now so you get in early so we're not swamped at the end of the show or at the end of the segment. If you want to text a question to Mike Chiannopoulos on the Absolute Law text line, 239-277-9600.
I will do my damnedest at some point today to get the Gatlin brothers in.
Thank you. We'll be back. Mike Chiannopoulos is next. We're Stan and Haney.
96 K-Rock is where we've been for years. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out anytime we like. And they said something else, but I forget what it was. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Mike Chiannopoulos in studio. If you would like to give Mike a call, 277-9600. I know already a bunch of you are using the Absolute Law text line to ask your question. Just throw the area code on there and text like you normally would, 239-277-9600. Mike Chiannopoulos in studio. How are you, pal?
Hey, guys.
What do you find more likely, the official story on Jack Ruby or the official story on Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, I find the one on Jack Ruby more credible. Jeez, that's craziness.
Nobody can be... I don't know how they continue to think that the American people believe this. He committed suicide in his jail cell, case closed.
I don't think it's that at all. I don't think they expect anybody to believe it. I think it's just raw power of going, yep. What are you going to do about it?
That's right. Right. That's right.
Because nobody's going to come to you justice for that.
You don't believe it, but you're not going to overthrow the government over it. I mean, you know, let's face it. There was a CIA director that died a couple of years ago while he was canoeing out on his property there on the ocean. And he died of a mysterious heart attack with no heart condition. I guess that just happens sometimes.
Yeah, and then they find Scalia's body and go, oh, he was so peaceful there with a pillow over his head.
Yeah, it's true. It's all true.
They literally said that. Oh, he was so peaceful, had a pillow right over his head.
277-9600. Mike Chiannopoulos coming in here.
You believe the one bullet theory, Tuesday. Right, Haney?
Of course.
that was a magic bullet, man. It could defy physics.
But you know, it's back and to the left.
That's true.
But you know, the amazing thing about Scalia, I mean, you look back and this last election was so historic, and I think Drain the Swamp is real. Because you look at what happened after Scalia's death. Unprecedented that the Republicans, especially in the Senate, said, no, you are not going to replace Scalia.
That was as unconstitutional as I have seen in my lifetime.
And murder is pretty unconstitutional.
But assume it wasn't murder. Assume it wasn't.
No, I won't.
Congress's action is outrageous. Is it an absolute defiance of the Constitution?
So it would be an open and shut case, yet no one pursued it.
Right.
Because we know what happened.
Lame duck or not, the sitting president, whether you voted for Obama, love him, hate him, love Trump, hate Trump, doesn't matter.
But doesn't that tell you a power play that broad is like, no, you're not going to get your nomination. You want to pursue it? Let's pursue it then.
Listen,
and Obama backed down.
Anybody who can defy the Constitution and essentially challenge the President of the United States and make him back down is so far out of control and so far away from their intended purpose of representing almost needs to be another quiet, peaceful revolution.
My whole point of that is that would never be allowed to stand if they were righteous. They knew what would happen if they were to go, no, we're pushing our guy through, all right, then we are going to investigate Justice Scalia's death.
Right. I think that sounds like a plausible theory.
277-9600.
All I know is the one bullet theory is bull.
Yes. Let's go to the
This has been going on a long time.
Let's go to the Absolute Law text line if you want to talk to Mike. 277-9600. You can actually go on live with him right now. From the Absolute Law text line, Mike, our first one up here. Mike, I have my mom, and she is not doing well. My brother has power of attorney, so he is paying all the bills. Do I have the right to see what expenses are paid out? And can he move into the house before he buys it? So the brother has power of attorney. He wants to see, though, what the expenses are.
Isn't it funny when money's involved, how close it brings a family?
And can he move into the house before he buys it?
Well, he can. And if the brother doesn't want to show him an accounting, then he can go file a lawsuit. And the brother will be forced to show him an accounting. I don't know that it's worth his money to do that, and all it does is escalate family drama and tension.
Sounds but like there's some already.
Some people will do it. And can your brother move into the house before he buys it? if your mother lets him. I'm assuming your mother is the sole owner of the house, and if she lets him, then yes. If she's incapable of letting him because she's not doing well and she doesn't understand things, then he can use the power of attorney to live in the house. He should be paying rent, and that would be your argument in court.
All right. 277-9600 if you want to talk to Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law, from the Absolute Law text line. Mike, baby mama's been in jail for 10 months on drug charges. Now wants to see my daughter. I don't want her to see our daughter. Is there anything I can do?
The answer, the short answer is yes. What you can do, it depends on a lot of other questions. So why don't you call me, 239-ASK-MIKE, 239-275-5463. I had to do that in my head.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
239-ASK-MIKE, I can remember that. All right, so call there, make an appointment to speak with me. It's free. I'll just ask you the questions and tell you what direction you need to go.
In general, without an attorney or a judge saying so, if one of a parent's, a parent to a minor child, one of them, is put into jail because of drug offenses, do they automatically lose their parental rights to see their kid?
Not automatically, but they usually do lose them because in almost every one of those cases, DCF is involved, and they'll tell the other parent, look, you need to get an order of protection or whatever's necessary. Otherwise, we have to take the child because this parent is putting the child in danger. And unless you agree to not let that parent see the child, then, you know, and of course, that parent has the right to see the child. You got to go file an injunction. And so that's the way it usually works. When they get out of jail, though, if there's no order of the court, then they can go back to seeing their child. And that's why you need to protect the child and make sure it's a ramp up and it's a reunification that's safe.
277-9600, Mike Chinopoulos in studio from the text line. Mike, can you explain how to best protect your assets in and money when you know you're leading up to a divorce? Signed, Bob. You know the divorce is coming. The papers aren't there yet. How do you best protect your assets and money?
Well, what's his name?
Bob.
Bob, say that backwards.
I can help on this a little bit. And this would be...
used to protecting your assets?
Well, this would be how my ex-wife handled it. If you can keep your spouse in the dark for as long as possible, don't pay any bills, divert all the money into your account.
Yeah.
Well,
but that probably, if you're not a female, would be frowned upon by the judge.
Right.
But when you're a female, it's okay, right?
Well, I'm getting ready to tell you that. Bob, there are a host of things that you can do leading up to a divorce. And just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. For instance, I once represented a woman whose husband made over $1 million a year. She was a stay-at-home mom, although she was a registered nurse and had been working before the marriage and a couple of years into it. Anyway, he decided having a 25-year-old girlfriend was a whole lot more fun than having a wife and three kids. He quit paying all the bills. She didn't know it because she didn't handle the money. And just about in the third month of not paying all the bills, he changed all the accounts and put only the money in his name. Again, she didn't have any clue. And then he filed for divorce the next day. He refused to pay anything because he knew we couldn't get a temporary order in front of the judge for at least 6 months. The way this system works, you cannot get any help for at least 6 months. And this is a case.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Seemed like it happened a lot quicker to me.
Yeah.
If you need temporary alimony or you need temporary child support or your husband or your wife shut off all the stuff and left and won't pay anything, you need immediate temporary help. And this woman had three kids. Her family was in another state far away. She had no one to help her. She was living in a shelter with these kids after she'd been living with a man as his wife for over 10 years who made $1 million a year.
What a scumbag.
Right? Listen, the electricity got shut off, and the county forced her to leave the house with those children because the electricity and water was the electricity was shut off.
Well, I know how that goes.
So, I mean, and you can't get in to see a judge because you have to go to mediation before you can get a hearing in front of the court, so they say. Well, okay, before you can go to mediation, you have to go to case management. Case management won't set case management until everybody's answered and filed their financials. So that's 45 days plus the 20 they got to answer. So there's 2.5 months. and then the time to get the hearing. So you're looking at 6 months or more before you can even ask a judge, please help these kids, feed these children. It's crazy.
Jeez.
It's crazy.
277-9600. Hey, who is that that's waiting on hold?
Robert.
Robert. Okay. We'll get to Robert in just a second. And
not
also,
Bob.
And Robert. Also your texts.
Say that one backwards. Just saying.
Let's take care of Robert right now on line one. Robert, thank you for holding. You're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Robert. What do you got for us today?
Mike, I will thank you when everything's, you know, settled in a proper way, but I wanted to give you some credit out here because you're on the radio. You know, the situation that I was in, and all three of you gentlemen, you know, have daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a situation where, wow, I just can't believe this is actually going to happen, that miraculously turned around. And I thank you for, you know, what you and everybody in your firm has done.
You're welcome.
Also, I'd like to add to Mark Haney's, you know, comment. I've been through the divorce thing, too. So it's kind of like you want to get out of it as soon as possible before they start talking to all their lady friends.
That's it. That is exactly what happened to me.
That's
is,
the truth.
You know.
Honey, I'll give you exactly half of everything if you take it now and don't speak to any of your friends.
At the kitchen table, we discussed this. We were doing the financials, and she's looking at the numbers, and she kept the books on all the household stuff.
Right.
And as soon as she does the financials, she looks across the table at me, and she goes, there's no way that you could pay this. You wouldn't be able to live.
Yeah, you don't make enough money.
Yeah.
Well, ladies' time is not necessarily a really good thing, what I learned.
Well, hold on.
Then she asked for it, and the judge made you pay it.
Yeah, well, we agreed, and she goes, we have to come up with a more realistic arrangement because there's no way that this can't be real.
So she was a decent person.
Yeah, well.
At that moment.
At that moment, she looked at it, and she knows, because she's paying our bills, that this is not doable.
Well, I'm the same next, as all you gentlemen. I have been listening to you two from the beginning.
Thank you, buddy.
The next day, she comes to me, totally different attitude and words I will never forget. Well, I know it will be difficult for you, but I am entitled to this.
Yes, talk to her friends.
Oh, yep,
talk to her friends.
Oh. Yeah, it's kind of like I love you, but I'm just not in love with you anymore.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, buddy.
I am entitled.
Oh, yeah, she talked to a lawyer, a female lawyer. I'm glad that we could help Robert. That was very nice. But I always want to say, no, I didn't know Robert was calling. No, I didn't ask him to call. So
yeah,
I don't like when people call and give me praise because then I feel
Mike
bad
has,
like it's a setup.
You have no control over the phone calls. That is a fact.
I don't even know who's calling.
Is that Cheryl? Here's Cheryl on line two. Cheryl, you're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Cheryl, what do you got for us today?
I am riding around in my van with no AC because the landlord we were living with would not fix nothing, so I called code enforcement out. Unfortunately, they were condemning the building.
Mm.
So now we're homeless, living in a van with no AC.
Oh, my goodness.
I was hospitalized twice because of living in that home with dehydration and low potassium. Is there anything I can do?
Well, you can.
Did they pass something in the past couple of years where landlords are not required to provide air conditioning?
But if it's there, they have Florida. To replace it.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
But if it's there, you have to replace it?
I'd have to look that up. I don't know. I haven't seen that.
It's something recent.
That's what code enforcement told me. So now we're riding around in a van with no AC. No power steering and two dogs. And that's our house.
Well, that's not going to work out so well. Why don't you call my office at 239-ASK-MIKE and
you can talk more about this off the air.
They'll give you some resources and some phone numbers that you can call because I really can't help you, but they'll give you some phone numbers and some resources that you can call so you can get some shelter.
I have called everywhere.
Well,
I've called 211. I have been through all that.
Well, call my office and see if they can help you.
All right.
I think they will.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Well,
239 Ask Mike from the Absolute Law text line. Mike, I've been married for 28 years. Mike, I've been married for 28 years. My wife and I agreed to go through a non-contested divorce. I am willing to walk away with every asset in her hands just to get out of this.
Isn't that amazing? The power... The power of a woman both coming and going. You know, you're going into the marriage and it's like, oh, I can't get enough of this person. And in the end, I'll pay whatever it takes. Go away,
if,
please.
If I file or if she files, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter who filed. But I got to tell you this. When you were reading that,
yeah,
and I'll pay anything to make her go away, all I could picture in my mind was somebody who wakes up with a woman that's coyote ugly. And he just gnaws his arm off and leaves it underneath her to get out of the room.
Like being in a trap.
This poor guy.
At 28 years, uncontested divorce. I mean, is there such a thing?
Yeah, if he's willing to give her everything, there's nothing to fight about.
Now, should he file first?
No, I'm sure she'll find something.
Who should file first in that, though?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
Nah, it doesn't matter who files first. The result's going to be the same. The judge doesn't care who's complaining, who's defending. You know, they don't care about any of
that.
Could
a woman get a judicial order to force a man to horribly hurt himself?
What?
You know, say he plays the guitar. Would there be a court order where she'd be allowed to take a hammer and break every one of his fingers?
Yeah, I don't think we've gone that far yet.
Just one comment from the Absolute Law text line before we wrap things up. When you were explaining about emergency help and emergency alimony, and just a text, just a comment. Thanks, Mike, for putting that evil plan into my wife's head.
Sorry, dude. But you know what? I didn't really put it in her head because any lawyer she talks to is going to tell her that.
Absolutely.
I think it's unfair. I've lobbied to try and get that law changed. I've even written some proposed legislation and sent it to a state representative, and it goes nowhere. It's not politically popular. I mean, let's face it, unless they're getting divorced, they don't really care about what the divorce law says.
Mike, you deal with a lot of people. You see a lot of things most people don't. In the general population of Southwest Florida, what percentage is bat crazy?
Oh, that depends. Are you talking about the population I see in the courthouse or my general overall opinion of
Because in the courthouse, you get the worst of the worst.
And that's where I was going, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a high percentage there. And, you know, the
truth is, a cop seeing everybody on their bad day.
Right. The truth is that it's probably not that high overall here in Southwest Florida.
It just seems that way.
Well, it just, Haney, I seem to be a bat magnet. I'm just a magnet. I'm just a magnet. If you are crazy.
I can identify.
I must have somewhere written in invisible ink to me. If you are crazy, I want to love you.
239 Ask Mike.
We must be related somehow.
Same brother of another mother. Anytime you call, press 6. If I'm not there, it comes to myself.
He's Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law. 239 Ask Mike 24/7/365. Mike, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney.
A soothing waterfall of character flaws, coupled with the bitter taste of harsh judgment. Stan and Haney on 96 K Rock.
Hi, Stan and Haney here. Don't worry, that's gonna be fixed tomorrow. We're all good here. Stan and Haney show. We're gonna get you updated on traffic here in just a second. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails coming up in about 30 minutes. A chance for you to win. We are going to play Stan's Name That Movie. 5 movie clips. You identify the film. Today is going to be an interesting one. Name the Rocky movie. I've got clips from a bunch of different Rocky films. You just tell me which one it is. A lot of them have numbers.
Whoa, did you say Rocky films?
Rocky films.
Well, how are you going to do that? I mean, it's nothing but...
No, Believe it or not, if you get past that.
I don't feel so good, Mick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Adrian!
5 movie clips.
Oh, so you want to be a fighter.
And I'm going to do you a favor. I'm not going to go and play a game with you and throw in one of them Creed movies. These are all the real Rocky movies.
Yeah, but how do you know one from the other? They're all the same.
No, they're not. They're kind of. They're all based on the same character. You just tell me which Rocky movie it is. It can be done. Let me put it to you this way.
I don't like the odds.
My girlfriend was able to do it.
Really?
Yes. And I was like pretty impressed.
I can't remember one from the other.
You will.
I remember the first one.
Don't just please.
I remember the first
yes.
one.
Yes.
And I don't even know what number it was, but I remember Mr. T.
Don't worry about it. Just leave it at that.
That's fine. I was going to leave it at that.
Just right
Why
there.
Are you on my
I already
ass?
I start with the Mr. T, and I don't need that either.
Why?
Just leave. Just have that.
We are both fans of Mr. T. We've had the man on the show.
It is true.
What's wrong with Mr. T?
Nothing. Let's get you updated on traffic.
Oh, God forbid I say Dolph Lundgren.
Stop it.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Jet's Pizza bringing us
Burgess Meredith.
Traffic.
That bother you?
Ah!
You realize you just growled at me.
You know, I did my invitation to Burgess Meredith.
You growled at me.
Ah! That's it, right there. Fort Myers. Crash. First Street and Monroe Street, right by the SunTrust. This one should be in the clearing stages, Fort Myers. Happened about a half hour ago. Daniels Parkway and International Drive. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Mark Haney's about to tell you because he's got today's headlines for you.
What the hell was that? Growling at me. Go lay down.
Be good.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you. You didn't know.
Uh-huh.
Olive Garden, you know, we talk about when they do the unlimited pasta.
Yes.
You won't believe what they're doing now.
More crazy talk?
Beyond crazy. Olive Garden is now selling lifetime pasta passes.
Wonder how much those are.
Well, we will tell you.
In less than an hour.
Everybody's all excited. Chick-fil-A's got a new menu item.
All right. I like Chick-fil-A.
And I got some dirt on Chick-fil-A that you won't believe.
Dirt on them?
Well, it's not bad, but it's something you probably don't know.
About Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Can you tell me right now?
It involves certain Chick-fil-A's.
Yeah.
Have different menus than other Chick-fil-A's. At one Chick-fil-A, you can get a steak dinner.
What?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
All right.
And
less than an hour.
A bride's sister, because it's that time of year again.
It sure
wedding
is.
Wedding season.
Yeah.
God, I hate it.
Yeah.
You right there with me on that?
I'm not excited.
A bride's sister asks if she can take her wedding date and venue instead. We'll tell you how that went over.
I'll tell you right now. And the thing is, and my girlfriend and I both agree, this is a fun way to do it. It'll be memorable. But we would have probably just done it and get it over with. But when we were planning out the year, it's the same thing. Well, we can't do that. That's my sister's anniversary there. Well, that's my mom's birthday there. We can't do it here because
we
had to find the date that we could go and do it.
You were searching for a neutral date.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, based on Stan's vacation time, based on, you know, various siblings, parents, all of this stuff, mine included, this was the open date. Okay, this works. So now I got something to look forward to virtually every month of the year now.
You mean an obligation every month?
That, any way you want to look at it.
Stan, how many people would you say are in my inner circle?
One, two. No more than five. Five.
What are the odds that in one calendar year, in my inner circle, two of the five are getting married?
Yeah, because you got another one coming up the end of the year.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do. You want me to go with you?
Sure.
I'll think about it.
I mean, you're not invited, but no. I'd love to see you. A woman is trying to crowdfund a butt lift for her mental health. We'll see how that's going.
Yeah.
And finally, things can always be worse. A man jumps off a balcony while fleeing the police. Now that's bad. You know what? Could have broken a leg, who knows what. But not only did he jump off the balcony, he landed on a wasp nest, hurtling out of the sky onto a wasp nest. They don't like that.
No, no.
These stories
agitates.
And much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. Try to bring it to you each and every day with the 4 o'clock fluffer, brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Cape Coral, Fort Myers. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Well, I don't need to tell you, Stan, the biggest news that dominated the 24/7 news cycle over the weekend. Of course, I'm talking about Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, I'm telling you, they're breaking up, and she's kissing on a girl.
She's disgusting.
A couple of them, you know, all oiled up and like intertwined like a pretzel in bikinis.
You know what? Somebody should tell her when she does these things for publicity. She should not be kissing a girl much prettier than she is.
Yeah, that girl was pretty hot.
Yeah, and it makes Miley look bad.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't take much, but... So you got that, and it is that time of year again. We were just talking about it. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the...
Top...
Reasons... To get married. Mm.
Top reasons to get married.
Mm. Weddings are a great place to hook up. Reminds me of mine.
Yep.
Remember that at the reception and going, oh, hey, boy, you've grown up since the last time I saw you. Looking good. You know, if I hadn't just gotten married...
Right. Things would be different.
You really need a set of fine china. You get to use the carpool lane on the way to couples counseling. All your married friends tell you how great it is, and you're too dumb to realize it's sarcasm.
Hey, kid!
You get to spend the rest of your life with your soulmate.
Yeah.
Or, in some cases, your soul-crushing mate.
laugh it up.
Well, you finally get to let that gym membership lapse and use the extra money to buy additional muffins. I wasn't looking at you when I said that, okay?
Funny. You're a funny man.
I'm going to die.
Just think, in 5 years, you'll have a great divorce story to tell your kids. You'll get a tax break, as well as a break from the strenuous activity of regular sex. You won't die alone.
Nope.
You'll die with someone telling you all the things that are wrong with you. You hate a lot of people in your life, and what better way to get your revenge than forcing them to go to a wedding?
Tried to avoid it the best I could.
Your testicles can't get caught in your zipper when they no longer exist. And finally, the very top reason to get married.
Yes.
If you're a man, it means you'll never have to make a decision ever again.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
How was your weekend? And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
Email time. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
Chicken Man heard us yesterday, and he must retort.
Oh, yeah, because you went to the ELO concert in Tampa, and you got cold-shouldered by the Chicken Man.
Yep.
He was even staying at the same hotel as you and ignored you the whole time.
Yes. Ahoy, gentlemen. Chicken Man here. Stan, I am not sure when you saw me at the hotel, but I wish you had said hello. I almost certainly would have bought you a drink. My girl and I were trying to figure out when you saw me.
When you were getting change.
Well, here. Without her, because she wasn't around. It was just him. And the only time I can think of is right before the concert while we were waiting for a shuttle. Nope. I ran to the bar to get change so I could give a tip. This wasn't then. This was hours before. As for stiff-arming you...
No, not stiff-arm. Cold-shouldering.
Yeah, that's what you said. He says stiff-arming, but he's mistaken. Cold-shouldering. I would agree. No stiff-arming. Cold-shouldering.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, of course, I would never do that to you and your betrothed. Let me say hypothetically that, I did see you. And my vision is not that great. Stan and a young lady sitting at the bar in a city over 2 hours from home. Again, this is hypothetical. If I walk over to say hi and you are not with the young lady I expect you to be with, then I know something that I don't want to know. If I pretend not to see you, which you did, then I know nothing and nothing at all. As for out of hundreds of hotels, how did we wind up at the same one? Well, Stan, I had my room booked for over a month, and I believe you were the one that had to make a last-minute change in hotels.
Aha, so you're the intruder.
Due to renovations taking longer than expected. Have a great day, gentlemen. By the way, Stan, how many more days left till the big day?
Not enough.
It's like 20 days, 21 days, something like that. 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Give or take?
You know, a lot of people might wonder that Stan's calling out the Chicken Man for not saying hello. The Chicken Man is claiming that he didn't see Stan. And some might be wondering, well, why didn't Stan say hello to the Chicken Man? It's simple. That's not his role.
That isn't my role. And I knew it was the Chicken Man, and I said to my girlfriend, I said, that's the Chicken Man. No, it's not. I said, that's the Chicken Man.
And you're proven right yet again.
And so she's on her phone looking at his site, and he walks away. Goofy hat you were wearing, too, by the way.
Well, he didn't expect to be seen.
I know. And she goes, oh, my God, that was him. I said, yeah, what's he doing at my hotel?
Didn't even say hello.
Nope. Didn't even
say... You could see him clear as day, and he didn't bother to say hello.
Nope. This from...
You know, you're standing there looking at him.
Yeah.
What, is he not going to say anything? Boy, that was awkward, huh?
Damn, say hello. What the hell?
That's the Chicken Man right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he hasn't even said hello.
Nope. There he is.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
You can see him right here.
Yeah. Nothing. Takes his money from the same bartender that was serving me.
Yep. Pretends like he didn't even see you.
A likely story. I saw you. I knew it was you. But that's not my role.
No.
Ahoy, Stan and Haney. This is from Meg. When I was at a rally, a friend of mine who made campaign calls for President Trump...
God bless you.
She knew the nephew of Vince Foster. She said Vince had enough evidence to put the Clintons away forever.
I bet he did.
He said one night they went through his safe, burned the evidence, and did away with Vince. This still bothers her and her family to this very day. Love the show. Thank you for the laughs.
Well, these people are brazen.
Here's Charlie from Lake Placid. Interesting. Daniel Patrick Moynihan decides not to run for re-election in New York in 1999. JFK Jr. makes it public he will run for the vacant Senate seat. He would have been the clear front runner if not for that tragic accident, and that accident, the plane crash, allowed Hillary Clinton to take that seat. There's always been rumors about the plane accident and people involved who investigated it. Subsequently, she runs and wins the seat and succeeds Moynihan to begin her new political career. And another two deaths lead back to the Clintons.
There were three people on that
there
plane.
There sure was her sister.
Mm-hmm. And, like, of course, that paved her way into the U.S. Senate, where she learned from her mentor, former KKK Grand Wizard Robert Byrd.
Robert Byrd. D. Democrat. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Haney, here's something you might be interested in. Check out a program called Strange World. It is on the Travel Channel. The particular show is called Montauk Boys. It deals with mind control. Very interesting. Go to the Travel Channel.
Oh, this is The Guardian?
Yeah.
Hey, Guardian, this will be fun for you. Google Overstock CEO.
Oh, yeah.
And you might find some things you're interested in.
Okay, guys. Who did get Epstein killed? Many questions like, why was his cellmate removed from the cell? Why did his lawyers have him taken off suicide watch? Why was the person on duty not an actual corrections guard, just a regular corrections employee? Why is it that some of these high-profile cases are always cloaked in mystery? Was it the Clintons, or did he really just commit suicide with paper sheets?
So many questions, and I wonder, will we ever know the whole truth? Signed, The Guardian.
Jesus.
We will be back. Rocky movies when we come back. Stan and Haney.
Mr. T.
96 K-Rock.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney. God, I'm glad this is only one day.
Help, Rick.
Coming up in about 25 minutes, Mark Haney and the news. But right now, we're going to give you a chance to win. We're going to play Stan's Name That Movie. I'll do it right after we do traffic. Five movie clips, all from various Rocky films. A lot of them have numbers. Your job is to identify the film. Got phones on lockdown. You cannot have won anything in the last 60 days. I'll go over the prizes and stuff in just a second. Jet's Pizza bringing us traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, a couple of things on the board. Fort Myers got a crash. Cemetery Road and Buckingham Road. And then in Lehigh Acres, crash in the 1700 block of Gunnery Road North. And you are up to date. Da, da, da. Rocky movies. Your job is to identify the Rocky film. Most have numbers. I'm not going to throw you a curve with a Creed film. First person to identify the movie will have their choice of the following. A bottle of Stan and Haney Babacu Saw. $50 to the pewter mug. $50 to Mr. and Mrs. Crab Seafood and Bar in Cape Coral. Or a gift certificate to Firehouse Subs, Fort Myers, or Cape Coral. Five movie clips. You just tell me, which Rocky movie did that come from?
I couldn't do it.
Here's clip number one. I'll release the phones after the first clip. You tell me the Rocky movie. Here you go.
I want all of America, I want the whole world to see me destroy this man after two short rounds. Because after this fight, he's going to have to donate what's going to be left of his body to science. But there won't be much. That I can guarantee you.
Rocky, what do you think about the fight taking place in the Spectrum?
Well, I'm very happy about that.
Why?
Well, it's only about 10 minutes from my house.
Rocky, do you think you have a chance against Apollo?
I don't know. He looks pretty mad. me and Mick, we're going to try our best. You know.
His lungs, he's going to punch out.
Now, who's that, Al Capone?
I don't sweat you.
Look here. A lot of people may not like me, and that's okay. But come November, Apollo Creed will provide the ultimate gala spectacle on Thanksgiving in front of this man's home crowd. I'm going to drop him like a bad habit.
Rocky, your pay for the fight is very substantial. What are you going to do with the money?
Well, the first thing I got to do is I got to pay the rent, you know. And then, well, I made this list on the way over. I was just thinking of things to do. I'd like to get a couple of hats and a motorcycle and a couple of quarts of perfume for Adrian. She likes to smell good. And some Muppet toys, you know, Ernie and Big Bird and that frog. What's his name? Kermit or something? And I thought maybe a statue for the church. And I think a snow cone machine for you, Paul. You like snow cones, don't you?
Rocky, got anything derogatory to say about the champ?
Derogatory? Yeah, he's great.
Name. Phone lines are released. Name the Rocky movie.
Boy, it's so hard to believe he wrote that dialogue himself.
Yeah, he did. Special. 277-96.
Anything derogatory? Yeah, he's great.
He's great. Got a little mixed up on his words there. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Jim from Naples.
Jim, which Rocky movie?
That's the first one that came out, Rocky 1.
No, it's not. 277-9600.
I told you.
Ahoy, who's this?
Jack.
Jack, which Rocky movie?
Rocky II.
It is Rocky II. Thanksgiving at the Spectrum. The first one was on the 4th of July.
Yeah, there were so many unanswered questions in Rocky
I. Yeah, there was. What would you like?
Pewter mug.
You got it, buddy. Pewter mug. Hold on. We're up to movie clip number two.
You like snow cones, don't you?
Name the Rocky movie. Which one is this one from?
How come you didn't break this guy's thumb like I told you?
How do you know I didn't break it?
You don't think I hear things? Did I give you a job this morning or I didn't?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So why don't you break his thumb like I told you to? When you don't do what I tell you to do, you make me look bad, Rock.
I figure if I break the guy's thumb, he gets laid off, right? He can't make
Yeah, well, don't
money.
Figure. Let me do the figuring, okay, Rock? From here on, just let me do the figuring. You know, these guys think that we're running some kind of charity or something. They're going to get on a flight. From here on in, do what I tell you to do because it's bad for my reputation. You understand? You got it, Rock?
I got it. Hey, how do you spell Del Rio?
Put up in a dictionary, Rock.
Come on. Hey, I won't let that happen no more about the thumb. You know?
So long, meatbag.
I should have broke your thumb!
Name
Jesus.
The movie. Which Rocky movie
is something.
Yeah. Yep. People loved it. Academy Awards. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Joe from Naples.
Joe from Naples. Which Rocky is that?
Rocky IV.
No.
Good a guess as any other.
Yeah.
I told you.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Paul.
Paul, which Rocky?
That's the first one.
It is. It's the original Rocky. You betcha. What would you like?
I'd love some pewter mug if you still got that.
Got some pewter mug. Hold on. Name the Rocky movie. I want the title of this movie.
How you doing, champ?
I'm good. Yo, man, there's no reason for neither one of us to get hurt in this fight. I'll do my best to carry you. Make sure you save face. There'd be no embarrassment. But I promise you, if you try to press me, you hit me, you hurt me, you hit me low, cheap shot me, I'll get you out of there.
You know, a lot of people come to Vegas to lose. I did.
It's already over.
Ain't nothing over till it's over.
What's that from, the 80s?
That's probably in the 70s.
Just remember what I said.
Hey, yo, champ. Yo, ain't you a little scared?
I don't get scared.
You know, I think you try a little harder when you're scared. This is what has worked for me.
Scared, I ain't
scared. Oh, yeah, you ain't scared of me. Come on, let's see what you got. Hey, don't hit me. I'm brittle.
Name the movie. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Mark from Fort Myers.
Mark, the movie.
Total Recall.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, this is Mike from Cape Coral.
Mike, name the Rocky movie.
Balboa.
Yep, Rocky Balboa. His opponent, real-life boxer Antonio Tarver, who
awesome.
used to live up in Tampa.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I love you guys. You guys are my ride home was like an hour. I couldn't do it without you.
I appreciate that.
God bless.
Thank you very much. What would you like?
Okay, I hadn't tuned in. I missed that part. Oh, so you got Mr. and Mrs. Krabs?
I do. Would you like it?
Yes, please.
Done. And that does it for the Mr. and Mrs. That's the last one.
All the fixings.
Yep. Last one. So we have a pewter mug, we have firehouse subs, barbecue saw. If you can name this Rocky film.
He's just another fighter.
No, he ain't just another fighter. This guy is a wrecking machine, and he's hungry. Hell, you ain't been hungry since you won that belt.
Oh, what are you talking about? I've had 10 title defenses.
That was easy.
What do you mean easy?
He was handpicked.
Setups?
Yeah, they were setups. There was good fighters, but they wasn't killers like this guy. He'll knock you into tomorrow, Rock.
Jeez, Mick. Why'd you do it?
Because the beating that you got from Apollo should have killed you, kid. It didn't. It was my job to keep you winning and to keep you healthy.
You really don't think I got nothing left, do you?
Well, Rock, let's put it this way. You know, 3 years ago, you was supernatural. You was hard and you was nasty. And he had this cast iron jaw. But then, the worst thing happened to you that could happen to any fighter. You got civilized.
2779600. What Rocky movie was that? Ahoy, who's this?
This is Karen.
Hi, Karen. Can you speak up for me, Karen?
Yes.
There we go. How are you, Karen?
Fine, thank you.
Do you think you know that Rocky movie?
Rocky III.
It is Rocky III. You are absolutely right. So Mick says to him, you know, 3 years ago you were supernatural. What happens is Rocky will go and beat Clubber Lang in there and then go on.
Spoiler alert.
And then go on for about 8 more years being supernatural. What the hell is that?
A motorcycle.
Jeez, where were you? Are you riding right now?
Yeah, I'm on 41.
Okay. Got that a girl. That a girl on the Harley. What would you like?
I'll take Computer Mug.
All right, done. Hold on. One more to go. This is my favorite clip, and the only reason why it is my favorite clip, the only person who'll know why it's my favorite clip is Mark Haney. No, to anybody else, this is a regular clip from a Rocky movie. Haney will know that this is my
favorite.
Move
along,
clip.
Folks. Nothing to see here.
Last one. Name the Rocky movie. Win a prize. My favorite clip, and only Haney knows why.
What are you guys doing? This is supposed to be an exhibition. You understand? An exhibition.
I gotta stop. This fight's finished. I gotta call it.
No, champ, you can't do no more out there.
I'm here to fight.
He's killing you. I gotta stop this thing.
I'm here to fight, promise me. You're not gonna stop this fight.
Boy, I'll tell you something. That was a pulverizing round for the ex-champion.
You don't stop this fight. No matter what. No matter what.
For round two, dancing around. The legs appear to be still a little rubbery.
Hands up. Hands up.
And the loser throws the right hand and staggers Creed into the right to the jaw. Under the right leg. Creed is being powered with outbursts.
Stop the fight!
The referee tries to step in and he's thrown across the ring.
Put him down! Put him down!
I've never seen Apollo take so much punishment.
Damn, no!
For Christ's sake, this is supposed to be an exhibition! Name the Rocky movie. Ahoy, who's this?
Susie.
Susie Q, can you name the movie?
Rocky number 4.
It is Rocky number 4.
How do people know that?
Yeah, you know who would have known? If Jeff Zito was still here at the radio station, he'd know every single one of them. And that was Rocky IV. Did your daddy tell you that one?
No. No, no.
What would you like, Susie?
Oh, she gave you a tee-hee-hee.
What would you like, Susie?
I'll take the pewter mug.
All right, hold on. Haney, if you'd...
That was a nice little tee-hee-hee.
Yeah. That one clip right there.
This is supposed to be an exhibition.
Let's see if I got it.
Creed is against the ropes. Stepping to me, stop it.
What are you guys doing? This is the supposed to be an exhibition. You understand? An exhibition.
That was no exhibition. That was a murder.
And that concludes Stan's tribute to Rocky movies. Tune in next week as Stan pays tribute to Apollo Creed movies.
No, don't make me do that.
From Radio City in Estero, this is Mark Haney speaking.
Fred and Barney, Siegfried and Roy, Ralph and Norton, Stan and Haney. You gotta be shitting me. You can't pay me enough to say this.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, Mark Haney in the news. Coming up here in just a second, we'll also get you updated on traffic. 96K Rock's doing it again. A chance for you to hit the G-spot and a chance at a thou. We're going to be doing it 5 times a day. It's coming soon. Listen, also go to 96krock.com, all the information. The G-spot returns. Chance for a thou. I don't know exactly what day that's starting, but this is called the teaser. And so I'm supposed to tell you it's coming.
Yeah, it's not here.
Not yet. It's coming.
Yeah, that's to get you all worked up about it.
For a thou, 5 times a day. Chance at it. The G-spot. Mark Haney in the news coming up here in just a second. Rob Show will be taking things over at 6. What?
Your wedding's coming up.
Yeah, it is. What now?
Well, what do I have to do regarding a gift?
Yeah, you don't have to give nothing. I'm telling you right now. Now, being that you're my best man, I did get you a little something.
You don't have to.
But it's already been done. The bridesmaid, she got her a little something too.
Is mine nicer? I would hope so.
They're about the same.
That's really rude.
How's that rude?
I mean, that's just her sister. I've had your back for how many years?
About 30-something years.
I think I've been a lot nicer to you than her sister's been to her.
I don't know about that. You know what? I'll tell you this right now. Her sister is just a few years older. I was cornered into watching home videos when my girlfriend was like 3 or 4, and this was in the 90s.
And you gotta own it.
I gotta own it. And her sister was a few years older. And her sister, I was amazed in this, how she watched out for her, how she protected her, how she was the calm one when my girlfriend, you know, three years old, at Christmas, look what I got. And meanwhile, her sister, just so patient with her. And only a few years, it's okay, we got, there's more to open. And like her sister would get something. But my girlfriend wanted that more than what she got and was like trying to take it out of her hands. And it was, no, this is mine, this one's yours.
Well, that's...
So I think her sister is...
No,
is,
I mean, it's nothing against her sister. What I am saying is that I have been 1,000 times better to you than any of your siblings, acknowledged or not.
I will, yes. I would agree to that. That's why I'm having you as my best man in the wedding, and I got you a wedding thing for the thanks for doing that.
And you're telling me that no gift is expected.
From you? No.
Now, I believe you, but that's you and me.
Yeah.
I don't know that she's on board with that.
I don't think she would demand that. That's not in her nature.
What if...
Yeah.
We're going to be in Las Vegas.
Yes.
What if I just BS my way through it and say, you know, I got you guys. You're going to love it. I got you something really nice, but I didn't want to haul it all the way across the country.
You don't have to put on airs like that.
And then forget about it?
If that's what would make you happy, then do that. If that would
give me pleasure.
If that would give you pleasure. If that would make you feel better. But you don't have to. I'm sure once I'm out in Vegas, there'll be something I want you to get. Wouldn't be the first time. Haney, I really like this shirt.
Do you know? It's amazing the things. I try not to get pissed off very often. But you will appreciate this.
What?
This happened a couple of years ago. And my girlfriend at the time was a little sloppy. And an ashtray hit the floor and cracked.
Yeah.
It was an ashtray that I had picked up when we were in Las Vegas the previous time.
Okay.
And I loved it. And this ashtray broke. And I'm thinking to myself, I remember carrying that around with me for probably a good 8 hours.
Yeah.
Sitting in shows with it.
Yeah.
Walking around the entire effing city.
Yeah.
Then flew it across the country with people going through my luggage. Then the luggage being delivered late and thrown at my front porch. And through all of this, and then a move.
Yeah, it survived.
Maybe two. This ashtray survived. And because I carried it around like a friggin' albatross.
Yep.
When that thing broke, part of me died.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I know the feeling.
So, if you want anything, you need to make sure that I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
On the final day.
Yeah.
And
oh, I'll have it already picked up.
Have you done it already?
Maybe. Now, K-Rock traffic. Jet's Pizza bringing us traffic.
And I still don't know how you happen to find like the 1 week of the year where there's nothing going on.
Told you, it was the only one available. Fort Myers. Both of these are in Fort Myers.
It's like immediately before and immediately after. There's all these great things happening.
Yeah.
Nothing when we're there.
Oh, what can I do about it? This was the date. I didn't check the Vegas schedule when I made it.
Well, that's obvious.
Fort Myers. Crash. Cypress Lake Drive and South Cleveland Avenue. The other one, crash. Fort Myers, Daniels Parkway, and Danport Boulevard. Mark Haney and the News. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is a news report. The American people want to know the important issues and events of our day. What makes them important and why? And that such knowledge can come only from an objective presentation of facts. We all need to understand the world in which we live.
Hi, I'm Garrett Gutley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Tuesday, August 13th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Didn't Know. When Disneyland opened in 1955, one of the big attractions there was Tomorrowland.
Yeah. Don't they still have Tomorrowland at Disney?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. So when Disney opened in 1955, the Tomorrowland area was meant to represent the future.
Right.
And it was meant to represent a specific date in the distant future. The Tomorrowland of 1955 was meant to represent what life would be like in the year 1986.
Ooh. Ooh. 1986.
Yep. Still waiting on the flying car.
Yep. Don't have it yet.
Can you imagine that? You know, in our final years of life, if I finally got a flying car.
Someday, Haney. Someday.
I think we could do it now.
We've been having guests come on this show for 20-some-odd years telling us that the flying car is just around the corner.
Well, I've finally given up. You familiar with the movie Stuart Little?
Yeah, the mouse.
Well, an art historian was watching that movie, the movie Stuart Little, when he spotted something odd. He's watching the movie and he sees in the background a certain painting, a certain rare painting that was thought to be lost forever.
It was a prop, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
It was a real painting?
It was used as a prop, but it turns out the set designer bought it cheap at an antique store, just like the look of it for the movie.
Yeah.
No one had any idea it was worth over $250,000.
I'm looking at it.
Now, you like art. Do you even like that?
I can't get a good look at it. Is that does it say who the artist was?
No. The Hungarian.
Well, that's
that do anything for you?
Okay. Oh, now here we go. Not really.
What makes that worth $250,000?
I would assume who painted it. And the time reference and the location where it came from.
So it has nothing to do whether it's quality work or not.
Probably not.
I don't understand the art world at all.
Here's how you understand the art world. And it's very simple. You go and you look at something that elicits some kind of reaction out of you. Now, they have a lot of people with the modern day stuff, the shock art and the stuff that, you know, is indecent and... But you go and look at a piece of art and you say to yourself, that's impressive. That says something to me.
Well, what makes it impressive?
It's all up to you. Some people like the damn velvet with the dogs playing poker.
Yeah.
They think, oh, man, that is.
But that's never worth $250,000.
No, but to some people, they'll put it in their house. To other people, it's all what you like. There's usually, if it's an artist, there's usually a story behind it.
But I'm talking about the big money.
A lot of that's a fraud. A lot of it's a fraud. Big money art. Because some big art investor paid, $1 million for a piece of art. Suddenly that sets a price that you... who have never heard of that artist and not that impressed by it, but it's going for $1 million. Well, if I'm going to be...
If he's selling them for $5, I should get one.
You know? Well, he's got another piece there for, $750,000. Well, that's cheaper than the million, and this guy paid $1 million for it, so it must be worth something. And word gets around.
You're right. It's all a con game.
Mark Haney's oil on canvas... sold to a broker in New York City for $1.5 million. Well, then Mark Caney can go and start putting out other things. A precedent has been set. An art broker will want you in their gallery because you just sold a piece to some clown ass for over $1 million.
Well, so it seems like the key is to find the clown ass.
Yes. Somebody that's willing to pay that much for art. Let me give you an example. You can go back to the 1950s and 60s where Picasso stuff was not even worth that much.
Junk.
It was junk. He was selling his art style for department stores and this Picasso vase because he drew something on it. And you can get it for, you know, $50. Today, because that is a Picasso vase designed by Pablo Picasso and has his mark on it, they maybe made $50,000, but suddenly that $50 vase is now worth $15,000.
It does seem like the key to being a successful artist is to die.
Well, a guy like Van Gogh couldn't sell his. He was laughed at.
Penniless and insane.
Yep, and his art was, he was trained with a lot of the masters, worked with a lot of them. But nobody, they all looked at it and go, that's nice. That's great.
Yeah, keep at it, Vince.
Yeah, you'll get there someday, you nut. a fact, the person that would go and stake money for him for his art and would buy a couple of pieces just to make him feel good was his brother. His brother, well, okay, here's...
What was his name, Vance?
Yeah, Nick. I don't know. I can't remember. But he took care of him and would get him his art supplies and get him all of his stuff that he needed because nobody wanted it. And they all went, okay.
Yeah. And so he just waited for his brother to die so he could strike it rich.
No, his brother, they died pretty close together, but his brother outlived Vincent and they started to sell the tormented soul.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started looking at it and realizing that he was a genius in his artwork.
Yeah, but they didn't know it until he was dead.
Until he was dead.
Yeah. You know, if there's one thing this show's known for.
Since the very beginning.
For the past 5 years, Olive Garden has been running a promotion once a year where they sell the famed never-ending pasta pass.
Yeah.
Now, that's a deal where you pay $100, and in return, you receive unlimited pasta, salad, and breadsticks for 9 weeks.
A lot of carbs.
This year, they've changed the game. On Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, Olive Garden's never-ending pasta pass goes on sale. It will be limited to 24,000 of them available for $100, but that's not all.
No.
The first 50 people who acquire a never-ending pasta pass will have the option to upgrade.
Ooh.
Now, if you choose to upgrade...
I do.
What do you get?
What do I get?
A lifetime pasta pass.
Ooh, all right. For how much?
An additional $400.
So $500 to eat carbs the rest of your life.
Yes. $500 total. You can use it to eat at Olive Garden for the rest of your natural life.
Only once a week?
And according to terms and conditions, it, quote, expires upon death. Doing the math, and if you're relatively young,
yeah,
let's say you live another 60 years and use the pasta pass each and every day, That means your dinner would cost 2 cents a day, not including tip.
Well, yeah, you got a tip. That throws everything off.
Now, remember, 24,000 of the never-ending pasta pass.
Olive Garden to go.
And the first 50 people will have the option.
Yes.
And if you want one, you'll have to act fast. The regular pasta pass sells out in a matter of seconds.
Jeez.
That is without the special bonus offer. And we've got more of this type of thing that this show has been known for from the beginning in a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
With over 130 years of mining diamonds, De Beers Mining Group is the most respected and well-known name within the diamond industry today. When De Beers decided to release their rarest and most valuable diamonds to the world, they chose only 300 jewelers in the U.S. And the only jeweler they respected and trusted in Southwest Florida to represent these rare diamonds was Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. When America's top bridal designers, Tacori, Verragio, Simon G., and Peter Storm, made the decision to showcase their stunning and award-winning designs in Southwest Florida, there was only one jeweler they sought to collaborate with, Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. The Diamond District has the largest selection of GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds, along with over 3,000 engagement rings from the top bridal ring designers in the U.S. With this selection and diamond prices at or below the internet, you won't find a better diamond buying experience than with the Diamond District.
The Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, there's a certain word that I cannot stand. That word is entitled.
Oh, I know. I wouldn't get you.
Entitlement.
Nobody's entitled to anything.
A 28-year-old woman posted a story on Reddit about her younger sister pulling a move that very few people would ever dream of attempting. The older sister has been planning her dream wedding for over 3 years. She and her fiancé have been waiting until she finishes her PhD program to get married.
Okay.
And after waiting 3 years, they're finally set to get married in September. All the arrangements are made.
Okay. Good.
Over the weekend, she was at a family barbecue.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't lead to trouble.
And her 23-year-old sister had an announcement to make.
Oh, did she now?
Weeks away from the wedding, okay? And the younger sister, in front of the entire family, announces she's pregnant.
Aww, aww.
But it didn't end there.
Of course it didn't. You gotta rub salt in a little bit more. Aww.
She announced she was pregnant, and then, in front of the entire family, she asked if she could take over her older sister's wedding date and she would get married at their venue instead.
That's low.
When the older sister declined her generous offer,
rightfully so,
the pregnant younger sister,
yes,
burst into tears
naturally,
and the family turned on the older sister.
You're kidding me. Well, the younger one was always the favorite of the family, the pregnant, unmarried one.
They have the family.
Right. Not the woman that's getting the PhD and planned it for 3 years. The pregnant, unmarried one wants to steal the everything.
The family has shunned the older sister now.
With the PhD.
Because, after all, she made the pregnant sister cry.
Yeah.
The older sister shared the story on Reddit because she thought she might be losing her mind. She was gratified that most people seem to be on her side.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Report.
Of course not.
For our final story, here
sounds like your family.
Florida's
could be, could very well be.
How dare you, Stan?
Yep.
Bill? And I've seen it happen where you're standing going, I haven't, what are you,
what?
What?
Yep. Unbelievable.
That's the world we live in. Police in Germany tracked down a 32-year-old man yesterday after he failed to show up, I guess, on the honor system to serve an 11-month prison sentence. They located him. He tried to run and jumped off a balcony. But you know the old saying? You need to look before you leap. He didn't. He jumped off a balcony and landed directly on a busy wasp nest. The wasps were not happy.
Of course not.
They continued stinging the man as he ran and flailed in the street. The police attempted to arrest him, but when they realized he was covered in wasps...
Yeah, a wig of wasps.
They started getting stung, so they backed off, and he got away. The wasp followed him, though, and continued attacking. And he looked around for some sort of relief and jumped into a nearby pool.
All right.
It was then the police closed in and took him to jail. Now he is facing additional charges for fleeing.
Wasps.
Yeah, and yes, it does sound a lot like Tommy Boy.
Yep, yep. Yep.
And that's the news for today, Tuesday, August 13th.
Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Monty Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll be back. We're standing here.
Hey, Southwest Florida. You've stuck with us through thick and thin.
Feast and famine.
War and peace and everything in between. Don't think for a minute we don't appreciate it. No matter how we may come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney.
96 K-Rock.
Let's get a final look at traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Jet's Pizza bringing it to us. Just one thing on the board. Crash, Fort Myers, Sanibel Boulevard, and South Tamiami Trail right next to the Publix. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Hello. I'm very excited to be here. I mean that. I just sound sarcastic. I'm very excited today. I made it through the entire day on one shirt. When you're my size, that's a win. Doesn't always go down like that. Sometimes after lunch, you have to make a decision. How many stains is too many stains? I'm at the level of fat where if food doesn't go all the way in my face, it's decorating my clothing. After most meals, it looks like I've been savagely attacked by mustard. I've learned that if I want to eat food and not stain my clothing, I have to eat naked. That's the only way to guarantee that. I try to eat naked as often as possible, but they don't go for those shenanigans at Boston Pizza. They won't bring me my Banderas bread until my pants are back on. That's the deal I made with my server, Karen.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Fredo. Where's my Fredo? There we go.
Now, I don't know, because we don't discuss things prior to air.
Fredo.
Did our service make an edited version of it available?
Of what? Yes. Well, no.
But because Cuomo cusses through the whole thing.
But this is the edited version where it just, they dropped the sound out of it.
I thought that's who you were.
No. It's from the right, call me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
Isn't that your
brother?
And
they used it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian?
I'm a little bit.
It's an insult to your people. It's an insult to your people. It's like the N-word for us. Wow. Is that a cool thing?
You're a much more reasonable guy in person than you seem to be on television.
Yeah, but if you want to play, then we'll play. If you've got something you want to say about what I do on television, then say it, but I'm going to fall to you.
Hey, listen.
What?
I don't want any problems.
Yeah, you're going to have a big problem.
What's the problem?
It's a little different on TV. Don't insult me like that.
I didn't insult you.
Call me Fredo. It's like I call you. You like that? You want that to be your nickname?
I didn't call you that.
You called me Fredo. You know my name now. Fredo.
I thought your name was.
You did not think my name was Fredo. Don't be a liar. You
want
to be a man? Stand up like a man.
I'm standing up, man.
You want to be a man out here? Then own it. Then own what you said.
Hey.
Then own what you said.
Listen, man. I don't have a problem with you, man.
Yeah, you're going to have a problem.
What? What are you going to do about it?
I'll ruin you. I'll throw you down these stairs like a punk.
Please do.
Why? So you can sue?
You don't want to.
So you can sue?
Well, why don't you do it?
Go take a swing. You want to call me Fredo? Take a swing. Take a swing. Watch your fucking hands. Take a swing. Watch your hands. Take a swing. No, no, come on, boy. Come on, boy. So you want to call me? Call me.
Hey, listen, man.
I'm not
doing anything.
I'll wreck your.
Stop.
You didn't know. You didn't know what you were doing when you called me.
I thought it was your name, man. I thought it was your name.
You didn't know, right?
Hey,
you didn't know what you were saying, right?
I thought it was his name.
I'm breaking it up.
Oh, there's the voice.
You're in for what?
You're in for it. You call me Fredo.
Fredo.
And so now we've learned that somehow when you call someone Fredo.
Fredo.
Had no idea that when you call an Italian person Fredo.
Fredo.
No, it was you, Fredo.
Fredo.
It broke my heart, Fredo.
Fredo. You're my older brother, and I love you.
Thank you.
But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
Ever.
You know, somehow I can't see the patriarch, Mario Cuomo.
Mario Cuomo would not put up with any of this. And he would take Chris Cuomo and crack him upside the head and kick
call him
in the
him
ass.
Fredo.
And Fredo, get out of here.
He'd call him Fredo.
He would. Oh, I'll tell you, the old man's rolling in his grave.
Christopher. My name got you this gig.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm rolling in my grave. But I'm a big boy. I can handle it.
Unbelievable.
Your brother happens to be the governor of the state of New York.
Yeah, following his father's footsteps.
He does not need you going out there, Fredo, and embarrassing the family.
I mean, Chris.
I may be dead, Chris, but I'm still one hell of an orator.
Yep, he was.
And daily I check my Twitter feed. I see what Trump's up to every day. What's the first thing I see today, Fredo?
Fredo.
You just bought yourself a new nickname, Fredo. It's never going away. Fredo. Ever, ever, ever.
We're going to take a break.
Fredo.
We'll be back.
A lot of people don't know when they've done something permanent.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, they pop off with something and they think, okay, that was something there in the moment. It's not like it's going to live forever. You know, Whitney Houston, she wasn't thinking that when she said,
"That's love, that's love, that's love, yep. Black love."
Black love.
She didn't think it would live forever, no. Fredo.
Fredo.
She thought, "I will always love you, will live forever."
No. Blue skies. Yeah. Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.